Okay, we're on. So, so I've prayed. Now I got the recorder going. Let's jump back into Acts chapter 5. That's where we're at. I'm going to do a very quick recap, not like we normally do, because I want to get to the end of this. I have two more points to get through on this topic. The title is Deception of Perception. If you've been here the last couple weeks, you know that already. If not, you can get online and listen to it, or on the podcast, or however that works. There's this story in Acts chapter 5, and let's just read the story because that's probably the best thing for us to do. It's been a week since we laid our eyes on it, or at least most of us, and then I'll recap the points so far, and then we'll finish up the last two points, and then just get to the really personal application that I've really been wanting to get to. So anyway, Acts chapter 5, at the end of chapter 4, there was some people in the church selling some of their possessions, some land, some different things, and giving them to the church. And so the church was growing. And so anyway, this was all going on. And, they were bringing it to the apostles so they could take care of the early church. And so that's what was going on. We get into chapter 5 and it says in verse 1, "But a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and bought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie unto the Holy Ghost and to keep back a part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto the Holy Ghost. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost." So he died. It says he gave up the ghost, "and great fear came upon all them that heard these things. And the young men arose, wound him up, and carried him out and buried him." So, man, you had pretty serious things going on there, okay? Well, then his wife comes in. "And it was about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered unto her, Tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, Yea, for so much. And Peter said unto her, How is it that you have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out. And she fell down straightway at his feet, and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her and her husband. And great fear came upon all the church, and upon as many as has heard these things." So we read this story, and it's like, man, why is this pertinent? Why is this in here? You know, do I need to be fearful that God's going to strike me with lightning just because I lied or whatever? And so, well, I don't know, let your conscience, lead you in that way. I do believe that God is the keeper of the lightning and all the other things. And so, if you tempt him, long enough, well, we'll get into that today. But anyway, I've read this multiple times and I'm like, why is this in here? I don't really know that the Bible is, would be much different if we just didn't have this in here. And so anyway, that's kind of, the title is Deception of Perception. And, people wonder, like, why is this in here? Why would God be so harsh on these people? This seems a little rough and all these different things. And so, anyway, I had 7 points of context to give us proper perception on why God preserved this for us. And so we've been through the first 5 of them. I'm just going to read them. Envy will lead us to action. Typically, when you are envious of something, it's going to lead you to an action. The problem is it's never a good action. The only action that envy should lead you to is repentance. And when you realize that, man, I am after, I'm desiring, I'm lusting after, whatever it is, after something that God hasn't just given me, the only action it should lead you to is repentance. The problem is it typically leads us to, what do I have to do to get that, right? And so, and typically it's never a good thing. So envy will lead us to action. That's what happened. They were envious of how they were treating different people at the end of chapter 4, and they wanted in on this. Okay, well, I guess it wouldn't have been a bad deal. I mean, it probably would have been for the wrong reason if they would have just sold it and gave the whole amount. But it was the fact that they said they gave the whole amount and didn't. Again, if you haven't been here, I want to just make sure you understand, it has nothing to do with the fact that they didn't give the whole amount. They could have said, hey, I sold my land and here's 10% of it. Use it as you will. And they would have been like, hey, thanks, man. But it was the fact that they said, I gave all, and they held back some. So it was the deception that was in it. The second thing, the second point of context to give us perception on why I preserve this is sin loves company. Man, typically, we always like to bring other people into the sin with us, right? It's always a little easier on our conscience if we can get a different believer to track right along with us, right? To agree with us. And I use the example of, typically with children, if you get one of them in a room, they typically, for the most part, will just play contently, do their thing. But you get two of them together, and it's like, don't turn your back on them, because who knows what you're going to come into. Sin loves company. I'm sorry, that was the third one. I read it wrong. That's what you guys are talking about. The second one was deception takes effort. The third one was sinless company. Deception takes effort. When you are going to conceive something, you have to not only think about the lie you're telling, but the lie that you're going to tell when somebody asks you about that lie and three more down the road. You also have to understand that, like, who I've told this lie to, who I haven't told this lie to, and move around. It takes effort. Wouldn't it just be easier to tell the truth? Man, I don't know, but I do know. But anyway, deception takes effort. The fourth thing, point of context to give us perception on this is you aren't the one that's actually pulling the strings. Sometimes we like to think in our life that we're like the master puppeteer of all the things. And, you know, I've got this going on over here at work. I got this going on over here at ministry. I got this going on over here at home. And as long as I make the right move over here and pull the right string over here, I can keep things afloat. But the bad thing is, a lot of times if you were to zoom out on your life, especially when it comes to the deception and the lies, and you're actually just one string that the devil's playing on everybody else on one hand. And so you might think that you're doing it, but, you know, he says that why has Satan filled thine heart, right? A lot of times that's where it comes from. And so you aren't the one pulling the strings. The fifth thing that we finished up last week is all lies begin with lying to yourself. Right? It all starts with that. You have to convince yourself that I can get away with this before you're ever going to go through with it. You know, and there was the progression that we looked at. You know, you lie to yourself. The next thing you know, you convince God that, no, this is totally okay. And then by that time, you think you've got God convinced, and you'll just lie to anybody about anything. And so that's just kind of the progression of lies. You lie to yourself, you lie to God, you lie to others. And, you know, but the problem was, and what we kind of finished up last week is, you know, what if we could build some sort of a defense system around ourselves, right? Some way to actually protect ourselves from this and stop the lies before we get ourselves into believing them, right? Well, let me just tell you, you've got this book. It's a pretty good defense system. If you were to put it in daily, and then that way when the stupid thoughts, and I'll just call them what the stupid thoughts come in, you'd be like, that's dumb. Why would I do that? Why would I think that way? Right? When the adversary, you know, puts different temptations in your life and you're like, hey, that looks good. But then on the other hand, you're like, but you know what the Bible says? I know what the Bible says. It says that the strange woman has nothing good. And it says that, you know, this or that or the other. And, you know, but the more that you don't put this in, the more that the deception of the world can take over very easily. And so, you know, build a defense system with the Word of God around your heart. Start there. And so, okay, here's what we're going to get. Verse 5. The sixth point of context to give us proper perception is I really don't know how else to say it other than Christians fall harder. Christians fall harder, and I'll explain what I mean in a minute. But in verse 5 it says, and Ananias being hearing these words fell down and gave up the ghost, and great fear came upon all them that heard these things. Ananias gets caught in his lie, and God, he strikes him dead right then and there. I don't know how he does it. It doesn't say that it was a lightning bolt. It doesn't say, I don't know what it was. But man, he just crumbles right there. He's done. Some will say that, man, God was too harsh on him and, you know, he didn't quote unquote deserve that. And, you know, we would say that about situations in our life. You know, I can't believe that God allowed that to happen to that person. I mean, yeah, they were in the wrong, but man, that seems a little harsh and this, that, and the other. And, you know, I don't want to get on a soapbox because it is what it is, but it really kind of rubs me wrong when people say, man, they didn't deserve that. They didn't deserve whatever that happened. Let me just tell you, and the best way I've ever heard it explained is this. We're saved, right? We understand that. We're saved from the wrath of God. And, you know, the best picture I've ever had described is, you know, think of, what is it, the Hoover Dam out by Las Vegas, this massive wall that holds back this massive wall of water, right? And it's just the fact that this thing is just, it's huge. And it holds back, like, the power that would happen if this thing was to crumble. Just the amount of water that would come through and just wipe. In the way that I heard it explained was, you know, picture the water behind that as God's wrath. And for anyone who's saved, you're on the good side of what has happened there. But every time that, and not that you lose your salvation, but every time that you tempt the Lord, every time that you say, yeah, I know he says that, but I'm going to do what I want to do anyway. Every time that I just choose to, well, you know, I understand that that's what the Bible says, but I don't really want to do that. Right? At least not around my worldly friends. Well, I'm around my church friends, that's fine. But every time you make a logical choice to say, you know what, I just don't really care. It's like you're putting a little hole in the dam, right? Just a little bit. And you're allowing just a little bit of God's wrath through. Because that's what we deserve. We deserve. We want to say, oh, he didn't deserve that. You deserve God's wrath. We all are born deserving God's wrath. And the fact that we accepted Christ, God has put up the dam to hold it off. But every time you say, you know what, I just don't care. I'm going to do what I want to do. You're just putting another hole in the dam. And eventually, there's going to be enough holes in it that that thing becomes brittle. And, you know, I don't know how it happens and how God in his providence chooses or whatever happens in those situations. But there is a time when sometimes a little bit of God's wrath gets through. And a lot of times, not always, but a lot of times we asked for it. And so when somebody says, oh, they didn't deserve that, let me just tell you, actually, that's exactly what Ananias deserved. That is exactly what he asked for. Just like the only thing that we deserve is to be struck dead by God every time that we just choose to say, you know what, God, I just don't care. You know, but instead we live in Romans chapter 6, right? And we say, what, should we continue in sin that grace may abound? Well, yeah, man, let's do it. And Paul's like, no, God forbid. You know, we say, man, Ananias, he didn't deserve to be struck dead like that. I'm just telling you, he actually did deserve it. Now, the fact that God gave it to him, maybe he was using an example, I don't know, but I'm just saying he did deserve it. The same way that I deserve it every time I tell God, I know that that's what you say, but I'm going to do this anyway, at least this time. I deserve the same thing. And so anytime somebody says, well, they don't deserve it, he did, right? And we deserve death and hell every day. Praise the Lord that Jesus Christ saved us from it, right? But every time that we tempt the Lord, man, you know, God's grace is the only thing that stands between us and death and hell. So when we choose to step outside of his grace, then we're only going to get what we do rightly deserve. And every time that you don't rightly get what you deserve, right, that's God's grace and that's God's mercy, right? And so just to understand that, well, he didn't do it to me last time. Well, praise the Lord he didn't do it to last time, but I wouldn't continue to poke the bear. Not that God's the bear, but I'm just saying, you might get away with it a few times, but eventually, like, it just doesn't happen. Right? I saw a video, I don't even know where I saw it, but I saw a video recently of a guy in Yellowstone. Every year there's some dummy who thinks that, hey, I'm gonna mess with one of these bison, right?
So big and docile.
Yeah, they're just like, I'm gonna get up there and I'm gonna like flex on this thing because it'll look cool in the video. Well, let me just tell you, the bison missed the first time and he flexed again. Well, guess what? The wrath of the bison didn't miss the second time, right? And it's just like, man, that's a picture of like, God may let it go once or twice, but the more that we tempt him, the more that we let it, I'm just saying, if for whatever reason God hasn't struck you dead yet for your sin, repent now. Because you deserve it, right? And that's what the Bible says. Praise the Lord that salvation has saved us. But anybody who says, man, they didn't deserve that, let me just say, like, it's a bad situation, but yeah, they did deserve it, right? And I'm sorry that it wasn't me instead of them. We all deserve it. And so don't ever say that we didn't deserve it, right? No, it's a bad situation, I understand. And any, especially when we start talking about people that we know and, you know, things like that. But, you know, that's the way it works. So, you know, that's what they deserve. As Christians, getting back to the point, Christians fall harder. As Christians, we're held to a higher standard. Why are we held to a higher standard? Because we accepted that when we said, Christ, I'll follow you, right? We said that hold me to the standard of Jesus, right? Because I said that you can take my sin and put it on the cross. And so that's me saying, I want to be held to that standard now. We're held to a higher standard. So when we fall, as opposed to when a lost man falls, we typically, I mean, let's just call it what it is, we fall harder, right? You know, a kid trips and falls and they just bounce right back up. Let me just tell you, I turned 40 this year. When I trip and fall, I don't bounce back up as good as I used to, right? That's just the way that it works. It doesn't happen that way. You know, compare it this way. When I say Christians fall harder, compare it this way. If God forbid, but if a pastor gets caught in some sort of an adulterous relationship, right? It typically doesn't just take him down, but it takes his family down. A lot of times it takes a church down. It's just a detrimental thing to so many people. And we look at it and we're like, man, I can't believe that would happen. That's so terrible. And, you know, but yet we see the same thing in the lost world all the time. You know, we make fun of it. We point fun at it. We have reality shows about it. We put it in the tabloids that, you know, hey, this person's sleeping with this person. It's no big deal. And we're just like, oh, it's, you know, their marriage might be messed up, but, you know, It's like a totally different thing because we look at it. Why? Because we signed up for it. Christians, we fall harder, right? Because we accepted that. And if you don't like that, I got sorry. I actually saw the liquid come out of her mouth back into her cup. So typically I could just roll right on past it, but I actually saw it like it. You had to be here, so it's all good.
You lied to me.
I was told otherwise. Scrape some off. Anyway, she was going to make some breakfast without cheese on, and I said, he said he's not going to be here. So.
You told me
I had to be. I did not. Who listens to me? Nobody listens to me. Anyway, there's some really good breakfast back there. It has cheese on it, but.
I was kind of hoping someone made me something without cheese. But.
Well, she wanted to. You can blame me. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, that's what holds it all together. Right? Anyway, okay. Flip over to Luke chapter 12. Sorry, I got to get there. Luke chapter 12, give you some insight on this. You've heard this passage before, but think of it in this context of, you know, how we accepted this. We fall harder when we choose to fall. Luke chapter 12, verse 42. It says, and the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household to give him their portion of the meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find doing. Think about that. Christ is coming back. I want that verse to fall into my life. Blessed is that servant when he's busy doing when the Lord comes back. Right? He will find so doing. In verse 44, of a truth I say unto you that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. But and if that servant say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat his men servants and maidens, and to eat and to drink and to be drunken, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour when he is not aware, and he will cut him asunder, in sunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant which knew his Lord's will, and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not, and did commit things worthy of stripes, shall be beaten with few stripes. And here's where it gets to the what we need to hear. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, they will ask the more. When you sign up to say, Christ, I'm in the family. In essence, and sometimes you don't know this when you sign up, but typically as you grow in Christ, you learn this. You've signed up to say, hold me accountable for the dumb things that I do. Right? And we've been given more than anyone else in the world could ever be given. Right? We have eternity. You know, we've talked about this in past weeks. Like, if there was a way that you could purchase eternal life, like, and live in this physical body forever, there would be people that would, I mean, the world would go crazy trying to acquire it. And yet, as Christians, we have it, and I want nothing to do with my back hurting every day forever, right? I want the new body that I get that doesn't have that, you know, and so that's just, you laugh because you're young, I'm telling you. Bro. I'm just saying, like, you laugh because you're young.
No, my back hurts.
And you're young. It only gets better, let me tell you. We have been given so much, and yet because we've been given, there's much required, right? There's a standard of living, and it's not that we live by a bunch of rules and regulations, but there's a standard of living that we say, you know what, Lord, I'm not going to act a fool anymore. Now, I might make dumb choices every now and then, and I'll repent of those things, you know, but I'm not just going to go out and make a fool of myself. I'm not going to. Like, that's what we're talking about. I'm not going to make a logical choice to say, you know what, I know you've given me this, but I want that instead. Right? That's what happens in an adulterous relationship. God says, here, this is what I've given. And you're like, no, but I want that instead. Or that's the same thing when we say, but I need the bigger house or the newer car. And sometimes you got to have a new car. Like, I get it. But do you always have to have the best of the best? And, like, sometimes we have to learn to be content in what God has given us. And, you know, anyway, just Christians fall harder. So think about that when you make that logical choice to say, I just don't really care what the Bible says, at least not this time. I don't know. I typically just live my life in the sense of not that I'm sinless by any means, not even for minutes at a time can I be sinless. But I try my best to live my life in the sense of I understand that God's the one who at any time can say enough is enough. And so, man, that's just how we have to live. Okay. And then the last one, and this is the one I want to get to, because there's a lot here. I'm not sure how we're going to get off on this topic because this is one that Well, we're just going to get there. So, okay, the last one. Number seven, the reason that this is, it's a point of context that God left this in there. Submission has boundaries. Submission has boundaries. Okay, so we read what happened here. I don't want to go back and read it again, but we read that, so all this happens to Ananias. He falls dead. We haven't heard anything about his wife other than she knew about it, right? So then she comes in. It says about three hours later, and Peter just asks her point blank, hey, how much did you really sell the land for this much? And at this point, I personally believe, now I wasn't there, but I just know the way that the grace of God works, especially with ladies with stupid husbands. Let's just call it for what it is. God has a little extra grace with them at times. And I personally believe that if she would have been like, you know what, no. Whether it was my idea, whether it was his idea, whatever, either way, no, that was not what we sold it for. I feel like there probably would have been some condemnation, but I don't think God would have killed her. That's my personal belief. I can't prove it. I believe that. But that's not what happened. She's like, oh yeah, that's what we sold it for. And then that's what he's like, why have you guys like basically came together to lie? And he says, then Peter said to her, how is it that you have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Right? They made a logical choice. And so anyway, submission has boundaries. One of the hardest things, I said this last week, just kind of a little bit of a teaser because I knew I wasn't going to get here. One of the hardest things a Christian is told to do, and I really believe this, is a Christian wife being told to submit to her husband. Like, I really believe that. Of all the things that God tells people to do, now I will also equally say one of the hardest things, maybe not as hard, but one of the hardest things that God asks a Christian to do is for a husband to be Christ to his wife. Because Christ is Christ and we're not Christ. But anyway, one of the hardest things that the Bible asks us to do is a Christian wife to submit to her husband. Right? And why is that? Well, let me tell you why. He's supposed to picture, he being the husband, is supposed to picture Christ in the relationship, right? With all of the guidance and protection that God gives us. We look at God and he guides us, he protects us, you know, he provides for us, all those things. And so the wife is told to submit to your husband as unto the Lord. That's what it says. And so we're like, okay, well, the husband is supposed to picture Christ in the relationship with the guidance and protection. And instead, he's nothing like that, right? The husband, he's a fool most of the time. Not all husbands are like that, but a lot of times, the husband is a fool. He's nothing like that. And the wife, you know what she's told? She's told to submit anyway. So that by her good testimony of submission, he might be convicted and actually play that role, right? That's a really hard thing to do. Because you know why I know that's a hard thing to do? Because I know most men are dumb, right? A lot of times. I know a lot of times most men are really hard-headed. A lot of times most men, we just do things our own way. Even when we know it's wrong, like the pride just gets in the way and we just make a bad situation 10 times worse because we can't say, hey, how do I get there? Right? You know, we won't ask for directions. We just won't. We won't ever say, you know what? I'm in a bad spot. I need help. Right? And we won't do that. So one of the hardest things is a wife being told, hey, this is who I want you to submit to. I really believe that. Now, here's a couple of things, right? Wives. Number one, you chose him. I mean, I'm just saying, like, we've done some marriage counseling and there's been a lot of time. I understand your sob story and I understand it's bad. And I understand your husband is dumb, an idiot stick, whatever. I mean, first and foremost, you chose him. Okay.
So funny because it's
true. Yeah, you chose him, right? You know, and instead of that's why being equally yoked is so important, right? Single ladies, right? You're out there looking for Mr. Right, and a lot of times we settle for Mr. Sometimes right, or Mr. Close Enough, or whatever else, and right, whatever, right? Maybe I can make him right or something. I don't know what it is that goes through your head, because sometimes I'm like, from afar, I'm like, you should not marry that guy, and everybody else is like, you should not marry that. And I'm like, yeah, but I'm like, okay, you chose him, okay, so I get it, but that doesn't let your husband off the hook. Okay, so that's the first thing. A couple of things. You chose him. Number two, husbands, she's told to submit. But let me just tell you, there's a day of reckoning coming. Like, there's a day that you will stand at the judgment seat of Christ if you're saved, right? And you will answer for everything that you did for Christ from the day you got saved moving forward. There will be a day that you stand before Christ. I personally believe that your wife will be close by during this, right? Now I understand there's not marriage in heaven. We'll get into that at a different time. It doesn't matter. But what I'm saying, I believe that you will stand before Christ and, you know, yeah, she chose me, right? She knew who I was. Okay, well, God's going to be saying, why'd you spend so much time doing this and not so much time, you know, serving over here? And your wife's going to be back over saying, right? And why did you force her to do these things and to ask her to do so many hard things? Why did you rule your house this way? And your wife's going to be like, right? All the times that she couldn't say anything, right? She was supposed to just submit, right? You're making it really hard on yourself. There will be a day of reckoning, okay? Okay, so let's get to the point, though. Okay, what do you want standing before Christ to look like? Okay, so, but anyway, back to the point. Submission has boundaries. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. This is the marriage passage. Most of you guys know this. It says, wives, let me get there. Just want to make sure it's the right verses. Ephesians 5, 22 and 23. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Okay, that's what it's told. And it's like, man, that's really binding. It is. There's a lot that we can get into. If you're looking for some teaching on marriage, there's actually going to be a marriage class this fall in the sanctuary. It's part of the D2 class, but we're going to do it for the whole church. So if you're somebody who's looking for some marriage teaching, I'll be teaching that sometime this fall, so I'm just throwing that out there. If you're somebody that's like, I need more of this, we'll get to that later. But anyway, we're talking about this point right now. So, it says submit unto him, okay? It says submit unto the Lord. What does that mean? It means submit to him like he is the Lord. Now, not that he is Jesus, but that he is put in the place of rulership, of responsibility in the home. Okay. Now, anyway. Yes, submit to him the same way that you would submit to Jesus, but that implies that the husband, he's going to live and he's going to guide and he's going to protect like Jesus. So yeah, in a perfect world, he's doing those things and you're submitting to him and it's just like, man, this thing's just rolling right along. Well, typically, she didn't do her part and he didn't do his part and it's never one or the other. It's always both and it's never one did something first. It's always both typically. So anyway, this doesn't mean, ladies, that if your husband isn't acting just as Jesus would, then you're off the hook, right? Remember, Jesus is the only perfection. We're just trying to emulate him, right? Matthew 7, verses 3 to 5, I don't have time to go there, but, you know, sometimes we need to look at the, you know, the log that's coming out of our eye before we want to pull the speck out of somebody else's eye. But anyway, you know, just make sure that we're doing our part. But let's get to the point, because submission has boundaries, okay? This doesn't mean, though, that if your husband is, I'm sorry, this does mean, though, that if your husband is acting, let's just call it anti-Jesus, just completely against the things of the Bible, outright living, and he doesn't care. Okay, this does mean that if your husband is doing those things, then you can respectfully take a stand. Too often, this is never talked about in the church. Ladies are told to submit, right? And just pray that God will fix them. No, there's a structure that you can, and let me just give you a couple boundaries. This may or may not be all of them. I don't want to, you know, anyway. If he's asking you to break the law, you know, if he's saying, hey, we rolled up to the bank, I'm going to drive the getaway car, get in there and get the money. I'll be ready to go when you get out. I told you to do it. Submit. Right? Okay, obviously, that's a far-fetched. But if he's asking you to do something that is just against the law, okay, yeah, obviously, I'm not going to submit to that. Okay? And I'll tell you the way that you go about that in a minute. Another thing, domestic violence of any kind. Now, that doesn't mean that you're just, anyway, that's not okay. Of any kind. Physical, verbal, domestic abuse of any kind. Not cool. Another, you know, boundary, causing you as a lady to just outright sin against the Lord. Right? I'm not talking about breaking the law so much. You know, maybe it would be, but just outright sin against the Lord. You know, I want to do something that is just, I think we should do this. And like, but the Bible says we do not do that. Yeah, but that's what we're going to do in this house. Okay. Again, that's a boundary. So, okay. If these things happen, let me just tell you, you're not just free immediately to divorce him, but you are free to use the biblical provided structure, right? What's the biblical provided structure? Well, it's the family first, right? God has instituted three, you know, institutions. The family, right? Yeah. So the family, if the family breaks down, you know, we typically try to handle things inside the family. But if the family breaks down for whatever reason, well, then where do we go next? The local New Testament church, right? That's why we're remembered. The church has great resources, right, to heal and to take care of things like this. Now, there are times that separation needs to be happened. There's even times that, you know, if one party or the other is just, then yes, divorce is okay, right? Now, that's never going to be something that I'm going to be like, that's the direction you should go. But at some point, if one party is just completely breaking everything that the Bible says to do, and the other party is like, I just want, there are instances. Now, I think the world has taken that and thrown it just so far out there that, anyway, I don't want to, if you have questions about that, I'd really like to have just like a personal conversation with you because, but anyway, the family, the church, and then if for whatever reason the church can't handle the issue, if one party is just like, you know, then the third institution is the government, right? We, as much as we don't like the law, I'm telling you, the law is there for a reason, right? Restraining orders are good when they're necessary, you know, things like that. So, if these things are happening, if your husband is just acting like an idiot stick on an each moment, then follow the structure. If the family structure is broken down, go to the church, right? And if the church, that's why we have multiple pastors here at HBF, not just to teach, but to shepherd the flock. Because if everything came to Brian, now it doesn't mean that everything can't come to Brian, but we handle things, you know, in different tiers. And so, like, that's how this thing works. So, and then you got the government in this order. So, if Sapphira had followed the structure, I personally believe that God would have preserved her life, right? And so, anyway, there are boundaries to submission. Now, ladies, again, I'll tell you, it's tough submitting to your husband. And husbands, I'll tell you this, you could make it a lot easier if you would just lead and guide and protect like the Lord asks us to do. Okay, but there's times when, flip the script, ladies, you could make it easier for us to lead and guide and protect, right, and provide. And it's just like we could always look at, well, if you would do this, it would be easier. And if you would do this, okay, again, there's a marriage class coming. We'll talk about all that later. I'm just saying, there are boundaries. There are circumstances where if you've only as a lady, let me just say this. If you've only ever as a lady been told, you're just supposed to submit. That's not biblical, right? There are instances where, the Bible gives you a structure, right? And that's why we as the church are here. There's been times that, you know, people have come into the church and it's crazy how much a wife has endured before she asked for help. Like, you didn't have to endure all that. We were here the whole time. All you had to do was ask for help, right? Now, I will also say this, ladies, just because he said that we're going to go this way and you're like, but I wanted to go here for dinner. Like, don't bring that to the church, right? It's not always going to be your way. And that's a laughing matter. But sometimes you have to understand, like, what's breaking biblical standard and what's just personal preference? Anyway. Okay, so let's wrap this thing up. This has nothing to do with what Ananias and Sapphira did and didn't give, but instead what they said they would give but didn't give. So let me just end with this because I'm a little bit over time, but this is where I want to get to. We just had VBS, right? And this has really nothing to do with VBS, but a lot of us are tired and we're like, man, VBS, for some of us, is like, that's the biggest week of the year. Like, I give more that week than any other week, right? Or whatever. How many of us have told the world, or even worse, have told the Lord at different times? Maybe it's at a vision conference, maybe it's at a camp, right? Maybe it's at, you know, a time when God just really got a hold of your heart and you told the Lord, I'm all in. I'm all yours. Use me, right? This is it. You can have all of me, right? And I'm not even talking like John Legend style. I'm talking about biblical style. Like, you can have all of what I've got. I want to be expended for the Lord. You can have all of it. How many times have we done that? But man, if you pull back the curtain of your life, it's a different story. You know, they were chastised. They were punished because they said they gave all, but really had no intention of giving all. How many times, I'll personally speak. How many times have I been to a youth camp? We used to go to youth camp all the time. And you would see all these kids, and even me, like, man, Lord, you know what? I've been acting a fool. You can have all of it. Like, I'm tired of playing games. I don't know how many vision conferences, but I told the Lord, you know what? You can have everything. Send me wherever you want to send me. Use me. I'll sell everything I got. It doesn't matter. You can have it all. But when push comes to shove, like, is all really all in my life? Because if not, then I'm holding back. And I read this story and we're like, well, does it really matter that they sold this land and they didn't give it all? I don't know. Does it really matter that you told Jesus he could have it all and you really didn't give it all? I think it does matter. Right? I think God would appreciate more if you were like, you know what, Lord, I'm about 85%. That's just where I'm at. I'll be completely honest with you. I want to give more, but I can't right now. And your I can't is I don't want to. But either way, I think God would respect that a little bit more. Now, he obviously, Romans 12, 1 and 2, wants you to lay it all down. But I don't think that the Lord respects our mouth words saying, oh yeah, you can have it all, in our life living it out saying 80-85% is all you get. There will be a day when there's going to be a judgment for that. The judgment seat of Christ, he's going to say, well, that's fine. You did. You led people to the Lord. You did a lot of things. You went a lot of places. You did, but you said I could have it all. And man, I'm just saying, you know, let's just run the tape on your life. Was that all? I don't think that was all. You know, we read this and we're like, why is this in here? I'm telling you, as I read it, that's why it's in there. Because I know multiple times in my life I've told Jesus, you could have it all. And I don't think all has always meant all. Right? And so anyway, I hope that's just kind of convicting. I'm not telling you guys, I understand it has been a busy week and, you know, we did a lot for the Lord. Praise the Lord. I pray he got the glory. But make sure that when we say, God, you can have it all, like you're ready to follow through with what that means. Right? And so, let's end with that. So let's pray. Father, I love you. Thank you for today. Thank you for being good to us. Lord, I thank you for a story that seems like it really has no place, and yet it has every place in my life, even today. And so I think it does in all of our lives. I pray that when we tell you, Lord, you can have it all, we really want to give it all. I pray that we are living our lives giving our lives as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is, you know, that's our reasonable service. So, Lord, I pray that we're convicted, and not just convicted, to sorrow, but we're convicted to action, to just be more like you. Lord, I pray that, you know, the things that we've talked about were clear and concise, that there's no confusion, and I pray that you get the glory for all of it. I pray that you just be with us as we do one last celebration for VBS here in the main service, and it'll be a good time with the kids and the workers, and I pray for church service this morning, all the things that go into that. I pray you'll be with Pastor Brian as he preaches. Just get the glory for all of it in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you.